Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. I've been watching the news, like a lot of us do, and I've been kind of keeping up a little bit with the three women that were kidnapped and have been held for anywhere from, I don't know how many years, to 10 years. And kind of upset me to think that now, after the fact, people are kind of crawling out of the woodwork and saying, you know, well, you know, I did see somebody, a woman in the backyard with a dog collar on. Well, gee, doesn't everybody have one of those next door? I mean, you know, why would that give you reason to be concerned? Or somebody trying to crawl out a window on a second story. It just makes me think. And then I started researching again today, and I was reminded of all the stories over the last 25 years, maybe further ago, even back to Patty Hearst and what happened with her, and what happens with some of these people when they get the Stockholm syndrome, and all the different things that can occur. And it's hard for me to believe that people don't, that somebody hasn't seen something or knows something. And I fear that it's because people don't want to get involved. So as I often do to kind of release a little bit of the hurt and the anger that I feel about all of us, myself included, I've written something that I'd like to share with all of you. So I'm going to read it, and then if anybody would like to call in and talk about it, I would love to hear from you. I'm sure Shelley will be calling in shortly, and I hope you enjoy what I've written, and I hope everybody understands why this is so important. I've named this paper Imagine. Imagine. You have been taken away from all you know, mom, dad, siblings, home, all that makes you, you. Then imagine that someone continues to take more of you day by day. Your safety, your freedom, your innocence, and replaces all of these things with fear, sadness, and desolation. Days go by, then weeks go by, then months and years go by. Eventually, you give up ever knowing anything else ever again. Abuse becomes commonplace, as well as pain and discomfort. Your pride is deep in hiding. Your self-respect is a distant memory. You spend much of your time in a dead zone where you feel less and care less. In the beginning, you really believe someone will rescue you. You know people miss you, love you, want you back, and yet no one comes. Tell me, would you pray that a stranger would be observant enough to see the signs that you are not where you're supposed to be? If a person knew something was strange about where you were or the look of where you are kept, would you pray that they told someone, anyone? What if you were allowed out and someone saw bruises or just fear in your eyes? Would you pray that someone cared? Imagine this person is your loved one, your child, your sibling, your lifelong friend. Would you pray that someone would care? In the last several years, we have read stories of children being kept in tents and makeshift lean-tos in backyards. Children being forced to reproduce and live like animals. Young girls being taken into slavery and used and abused to extremes that I don't have words for. The latest horror story is one of too many. Three young women kept for 10 years, kidnapped separately, living in a neighborhood that we all saw pictures of that has maybe 10 to 15 feet between each house, garbage bags over windows, front doors that did not open, garbage that must seem strange after a child is born and three women reside in hiding. People had apparently visited this house, yet no one knows about these poor prisoners. Now we hear stories that a woman was seen or hearing screams or strange things, but imagine, no one really cared. Or they would have never been locked away for 10 years, would they? Imagine. A world that is aware and observant and really cared about every living being. A world where you could never, never secretly hurt anyone behind closed doors because people would care enough to see and tell. I believe, as usual, we would all want to feel and be safe. There are sick and damaged walking amongst us. People who possibly were hurt first and really need to be secured and helped in whatever way that will keep us and them safer. Before we work on that problem, we have to work on caring enough to get involved and being observant to what is in our surroundings. Life is what we make of it. We've all heard that saying. We're making a mess, people. And the messier it gets, the harder it is to clean up. I hope everybody understood all of that, and I hope everybody sees the problem that is getting larger and larger and bigger than life. I think that because of possibly even lawyers, possibly even people that don't have anything to do with this, it's very possible that they are afraid. They're afraid that they might get sued if they say something that isn't true. Or if they think they heard something, but they think, well, you know, that's really none of my business. It could have been just this, and I don't want to bother everybody. There's all kinds of excuses. But what if the one time you hear something or see something, you don't do anything, and the next day you read about something horrific in the paper? I believe that's what happened to all these neighbors in this neighborhood where all of this took place. People did see things. How could they not? We're not talking about a rambling mansion. We're not talking about a place that's way out in the boondocks where you have to swim across a gator-infested canal to get to it. We're talking about a very small neighborhood where the houses are pretty much on top of each other, where in the summertime you can hear the next-door neighbor's television, and nobody saw three women, and then a baby who was obviously born there, and nobody heard or saw anything. No one noticed. Even the garbage men didn't notice diapers in the garbage or anything. I can't even fathom this, but the point I need to make with everybody is that could be you. Or that could be one of yours. Don't you want all of us to care enough so that if we knew one of ours was being hurt? You know, there's reports that these women were tied up a good part of the time that they were in there. And obviously left to fend for themselves as far as their grooming and their everyday activities. Who even knows if they ate right? I guess we're probably lucky. I guess there were several babies lost, and that's something else. What happened to them? Where are they? But again, this could be happening another place, right now, right this minute, and it could be next door to you. It could be next door to me. It could be next door to any one of us. If we don't get our heads, I'd like to say out of our derriere, but I'll say get our heads out of the clouds and start paying attention to what's going on around us, what's going to happen? I would be so mortified if this happened to somebody I cared about, and then I heard later somebody say, well, you know, I saw something really strange one day. There was something going on, and I saw, you know, I heard screams, or I heard this, I heard that. I'd be in their face saying, what in the hell were you thinking? Why weren't you knocking on that door? You didn't care that somebody might be getting hurt? It's none of your business, right? What's none of your business is how much somebody makes in their paycheck, or how much somebody paid for their car, or what people do behind closed doors sexually, or anything else. That's none of your business. But if somebody's being hurt, or a child is being harmed, or something that is immoral and illegal is going on, it's damn sure some of your business, because we all share this space together. It is absolutely some of your business. And until you take responsibility for that, these are the kind of things that are going to happen. And I hope and pray that it's nobody you love, because then this will all seem different to you. Because when something comes into your realm, it becomes much more real. Remember the other night how what a foolish woman I was when I said 30 years ago I wasn't going to worry about AIDS until somebody I knew had AIDS? Within weeks of me saying that out loud, several people that I knew but didn't know that they were infected came to me and told me they had AIDS. And I almost felt like I did that myself, because I said something so stupid. We have got to care. And if we don't care, no one will care about us either. And I don't know about you, but I'm not good at suffering in silence. And I'm not good at being all by myself when things are tough for me. I like friends and family to support me and be around me when I'm going through a bad time. When my grandson got hurt, when my son got hurt, when my house burnt to the ground, I was never alone. People came from everywhere and supported my whole family, like we already knew each other, and a lot of them I didn't know. That's the way we're supposed to be. But we shouldn't wait until it's old news. We need to start paying attention the minute we think something is wrong. And this is that very important word that we've all talked about here recently, and that's observation. Paying attention to what's going on around you. Looking. If you see a family out and you see a child that looks uncomfortable, there might be something wrong. I don't want everybody running over to everybody's table at the Golden Corral and saying, hey, what's up with your kid? What's the matter with him? I don't want everybody going nuts about this, but I do want you to pay a little bit of attention. It doesn't hurt you. And you may make a difference. So, I've already brought Shelley in, and I see I've got Daniel here. Daniel will be so proud that I remembered his phone number tonight. Hi, you guys. Did you hear my whole spiel? I hope.
Yes,
I wish
heard that.
Most of it, yes.
Oh, you first, Shelley.
Sorry, Daniel. Yeah, and well, I was just saying that I heard most of what Rainey was saying, but I missed the first couple of minutes. So I don't know what story you're talking about.
Well, I wrote an article in my own words today. And I will start it again, because I know a lot of people join in late. I tried to talk a little bit before I read it, because I know a lot of people come in late. But this is about the what prompted me to do this was the three women that were kidnapped and kept for 10 years. But when I researched that today, I remembered all the other ones, all the way back to Patty Hearst.
Yes.
And the girl that was made to provide children for the wacky couple there that professed to be some kind of a minister or something. And I mean, there's been all kinds of stories like this. And then there's the kids that get taken in someplace where they're really not supposed to be. They're stolen from the people that they belong to, and they get Stockholm syndrome and don't ever care whether they go back.
Mm-hmm.
So the article that I wrote is called Imagine. And when you two are caught up, tell me and I'll stop reading. Imagine. Imagine you have been taken away from all you know. Mom, dad, siblings, home, all that makes you, you. Then imagine that someone continues to take more of you, day by day. Your safety, your freedom, your innocence, and replaces all of these things with fear, sadness, and desolation. Days go by, weeks go by, months and years even go by. Eventually, you give up ever knowing anything else ever again. Abuse becomes commonplace, as well as pain and discomfort. Your pride is deep in hiding. Your self-respect is a distant memory. You spend much of your time in a dead zone, where you feel less and care less. In the beginning, you really believe someone will rescue you. You know people miss you, love you, want you back, and yet no one comes. Tell me, would you pray that a stranger would be observant enough to see the signs that you are not where you're supposed to be? If a person knew something was strange about where you were or the look of where you are kept, would you pray that they told someone, anyone? What if you were allowed out and someone saw bruises or fear in your eyes? Would you pray that somebody cared? Imagine, this person is your loved one, your child, your sibling, your lifelong friend. Would you pray that someone cared? In the last several years, we've read stories of children being kept in tents, makeshift lean-tos in backyards, children being forced to reproduce and live like animals, young girls being taken into slavery and used and abused to extremes that I don't have words for. The latest horror story is one of too many. Three young women kept for 10 years, kidnapped separately, living in a neighborhood that has maybe 10 to 15 feet between each house, garbage bags over windows, front doors that do not open, garbage that must seem strange after a child is born, and three women reside in hiding. People had apparently visited this house, yet no one knows about these poor prisoners. Now we hear stories that a woman was seen or hearing screams. Strange things, but imagine. No one really cared, or they would have never been locked away for 10 years, would they? Imagine a world that is aware and observant and really cared about every living being. A world where you could never secretly hurt anyone behind closed doors because people would care enough to see and tell. I believe, as usual, we would all want to feel safe and be safe. There are sick and damaged walking amongst us, people who possibly were hurt first and really need to be secured and helped in whatever way that will keep us and them all safer. Before we work on that problem, we have to work on caring enough to get involved and being observant to what is in our surroundings. Life is what we make of it. We've all heard that saying. We're making a mess of it, people. And the messier it gets, the harder it is to clean up.
Right. Wow.
So what do you think?
That was awesome.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm all choked up again. You have a way of doing that with your words.
Well, you know, it's an awful thing, and because it's on the news every day and because I don't work anymore and I always have TVs on, I've heard this so many times now, and I feel like jumping in my car and driving to this neighborhood and knocking on every door and saying, what the hell's the matter with you?
You know, Reenie, that was the exact thought that just came into my mind, that, you know those red light cameras that are on the streets? I wish they would have a speaker, and we could connect what you just said and blasted all over the world right now so that everyone sitting in traffic could hear what you said and every home could hear what you just said. I wish that I could have an automatic button to turn on TVs and radios for everyone to hear what you just said.
Yeah.
Right now.
Well, I invite everybody who's listening to this show, in general, but especially we have a few landmark shows since the beginning, and I believe tonight is one of them.
Yes.
Because what you started out with was quite exceptional, Rainey, and I invite everybody
Thank
who's
you.
Listening tonight and who will listen to this later on the internet to please start telling
yes.
your friends and family about this show. Tell them, hey, you know, at least this one. So you just got to listen to this show. It really is thought-provoking. I mean, this woman's got like a fresh stance on things, and it's a timely message that more and more people have to hear. So everybody who's listening tonight, share it with at least one other person, and let's see if we can get a ripple effect going and get
mm-hmm.
other people engaged in this information.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
Well,
you know,
do you know anybody? Either one of you know anybody that has never really been scared about something? Really scared. You know,
no,
like something is happening in their life. Exactly. So imagine that probably 10, 20 times over, being someplace where you are at the command of somebody whose perversions are way out of your, you can't even imagine. And what's the first thing we do when something bad happens to us? Can either one of you think about what I'm thinking? What's the first thing we do?
You blame yourself.
We wonder what we've done.
Why?
That's right. We say to ourselves, oh, my God, why me? What did I do? What did I do that's so horrible that I deserve this?
Right.
Yep.
Isn't that true?
I can tell you that's true. It's not like what I do.
it's what we all do, Danny. It's what we all do. And imagine living like that for 10 years. I would like to see these three women and just give them a Rini hug that they would never forget. Because now they're going to have to get past all of this. And this won't be easy.
Did you hear the 911 call?
Yes, I did. I did. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I heard the call to the point where she wasn't sure the police were going to send somebody.
Yep.
She's like, you need to send them now. Do you understand? I need them now. Before he comes back. Are they coming? Are you sure they're coming? Like, are you sending them? Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Are you joking with me? Like,
mm-hmm.
she was so scared. I see what you're saying.
Well, but the whole point is now they're safe. Finally,
they have a very, 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 very
tough road ahead of them.
Yes.
But it could be going on anywhere. Like I said before, it could be going on next door to you.
Yes.
You never, ever know. Or maybe not this, but something just as awful for somebody.
You have a very responsible show here, and you've said it a couple times, and I want to make sure that people are listening carefully to what you're saying because I second it, you know, and I support you. But we're not advocating that people start running around now and making everybody else's business theirs. That's not what we're saying, you know.
Never.
We're not
Never.
Saying, you know, like, if
no,
you see somebody
no,
telling their child, right. We're not saying that if you see someone yelling at their child that you run up to them and say, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is being observant. If you see something that's disturbing you, keep your eye on it. Watch it. If it's something that needs immediate attention, go get somebody that's an authority. Say, let them
that's
sort
right.
it out, okay? And don't you make the decision whether or not there's something there. If it's something that's
right.
getting your attention and disturbing you, then mention it to somebody in authority that can then sort it out and see if, in fact, this person is just having a bad day or if this is a series of abuse that this other person has been subjected to for a long time. You know, just kind of like, you know, the easiest way to do this is trust your gut. If you're getting a sick feeling in the pit of your stomach, this is almost like a radar that human beings are gifted with, and a lot of people don't realize it. When you get that sick feeling at the pit of your stomach, that means there's something wrong. That's almost
right.
Like a radar.
The only time, Shelly,
yep.
we're not talking about like, oh, that just makes me feel horrible. We're talking about you feel disgusted. So
right.
Exactly.
Right.
And all the time when you feel that way, something is wrong. So yes, I exactly.
People have to start trusting their instincts. When you get that sensation, that's your cue that there's more than likely something to it. Don't ignore it. Now, don't put yourself in jeopardy. This is what I was saying the other night. That's what I'm saying. Get the proper people involved. I'm not saying
right.
that you should go in and try to be a hero, because if you're not trained, you may get injured if it's a violent situation. But
correct.
For God's sake, say something to somebody who can.
So with
well, there's a million.
That.
We announce all the time about 211. We announce all the time about all the other organizations that are there to help people. There's hotlines in every city. Again, this is about what is your business. Like I said before, it's none of your business how much money somebody makes. It's none of your business how many times somebody's been married or if they're married to the lady that they're living with or anything like that. But if somebody's being harmed and somebody's life is in jeopardy, then it damn sure is your business.
That's right. You know, when I was a kid, when I was younger, let me say that. When I was younger, I had a friend. And, my mom worked for the county, and she's a mandated reporter. But then she became, I always wondered what it was like to be able to have a mother that was a teacher. And lo and behold, my mother showed up at my school teaching one day.
Mm-hmm.
She became a teacher. And I had a friend who I knew was eventually ended up knowing that she was being abused by her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And it put me in a position, because I know she was my friend, but I know the only person I could go to about it was my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Not just another teacher, my mom, It's mm-hmm. still my mom. So I went to my mom. I said, Mom, but I don't want you to say anything. I just wanted to tell you this is what's going on. She says, Daniel, now I cannot help but say anything. I have to report it because she's a teacher. So, I think that is also something to look at. Just because you know somebody and just because you have a certain relationship or you don't want to hurt their feelings, if you feel that someone needs to be helped, you have no right to not say anything. You're kind of mandated to say something. If I'm told something from a friend and I don't feel it's right, and they ask me to keep it a secret, sure, I won't tell anybody else, but if I feel like it's going to harm somebody, I'm going to tell the authorities. I may not have to mention my friend's name, but I have to say something.
Right.
Well,
you know?
I think that's the point that Shelley's trying to make, that it's not really
right.
up to you to fix it.
That's right.
And that's what I'm saying as well. But it is
right.
up to you to let the people that are trained and
right.
it's their job and they know what they're doing, it's their job
right.
to do something about it. But if you know about it and they don't, and
that's
you
right.
don't tell anybody, you're almost as much to blame as the perpetrator is
right.
to blame.
That's
and
right.
That's an awful thing to live with, you guys. That's a tough thing
that's
to
right.
live with.
Imagine
you find out a few days
that.
Later, yes, that would be
imagine
awful.
Knowing, oh, imagine knowing, or knowing that you picked up the phone even to say something, and then you put the phone down. There's a story I heard. There's a story. And this actually happened right here in City of Plantation, Rainey. Right
yeah.
here, Shelley. Right here in South
uh-huh.
Florida. What's new,
okay.
South Florida? Right here. There was a woman. And there was they were an apartment building complex. And the story goes, I just happened some time ago, basically that, and it was not too late. It was around 9, 10 o'clock at night. But there was screaming going on, and they were shrieking where everybody in the apartment heard it. People stuck their heads out. No one went to knock on the door. But people, long story short, it ends up the woman was shot to death.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Okay. When the police come, everyone said, I was sleeping, I woke up, I was in the shower, but I heard it. And everybody heard it, and everyone was going to pick up the phone to call 911, but they said someone else will probably call.
Yeah.
Someone else. Someone else will do it. Oh, someone else will do it. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's another.
No one called.
That's a good pass the buck kind of responsibility. And we are
right.
Guilty of that. We are definitely
guilty
of that.
We are very guilty
of that.
No one called. Because everyone else was supposed to call. Right,
well, you know, that's
right.
Like the neighborhood. That's like the neighborhood that sits in the dark because the electricity is off and everybody thinks somebody else is calling. So everybody sits there all night long because everybody thought everybody else was calling them to report the power outage. You know,
right.
we can really be dumb, honey. We can
yeah.
really, really be dumb. And, you know, I often think of things like that and think to myself, you know, oh, my God, what were they thinking? But
yeah.
it is a strange thing to decide, you know, whether you should make a move, whether you shouldn't make a move. I would say that a rule of thumb, and this is what I always said to my kids about a lot of different things, and I've said it to my own siblings. If
mm-hmm.
you are scared and you don't know what to do, I want
mm-hmm.
you to think to yourself, if you were being hurt, would you want somebody to call up and say something? If you were in a position that was scary,
mm-hmm.
would you hope, like what I just read, would you pray that somebody
mm-hmm.
was paying attention? And if they're wrong, fine. No skin off anybody's nose to be wrong in a scenario like that.
Right.
What you did was the right thing at the right time, and that's what it's
right.
all about.
That's right.
Yeah, and there's so many ways of calling anonymously about this where nobody
gosh,
even
yes.
has to know that it was you. So why wouldn't you at least put it out there and at least try to get these people some help if you could? You know, I can understand why in certain situations, especially if it's a next-door neighbor or if it's somebody you work with or something like that, you're like, oh, my God, if I'm wrong, these people are going to hate me. So you make the report anonymously, but you make it, and I had said this about reporting problems at work and stuff like this, but if you call the authorities, don't be hysterical. Sound like you've got your marbles. Be calm.
That's
and say,
right.
Look, I don't want to start something here, you know, I don't want to, you know, say I don't want to be an alarmist,
right.
but I got to tell you, I'm seeing or I'm hearing this, I'm really distressed by it, I'm very concerned, I can't be 100% possible, you know, positive that something is happening.
Right.
But please check it out for me, because
right.
I'm worried about the safety of someone else.
That's
you know,
right.
one of the most important things when you become a manager in today's world, one of the most important things that is stressed when you work for a corporation, and that is other people's safety. OSHA is one of
mm-hmm.
the biggest organizations in the United
yeah.
States. Why? Because
yeah.
it's all about the safety of others. So
you know,
if you're really that concerned about whether or not you should do something like that, I would just remind yourself that safety should always come first. And it doesn't mean anything horrible is even happening. If you're just concerned about someone's safety, then you should speak up. You don't have to say, oh, I think so-and-so is being beaten to a pulp. You know, I'm worried about the safety of my next-door neighbor because I hear
yeah.
weird noises and stuff like that. That's it. That's all you'd have to say. And they'd go check it out. You're not accusing anyone. You're not
yeah.
saying anything that's not true. You're just saying, I'm just a little bit worried about this. Could you check this out for me? How easy is
hey,
that?
You know, Reenie, you brought up OSHA, and there is something I want to say after. But for me, for the listeners, OSHA has free trainings to train people on safety and emergency procedures and events, and they hold them in different locations. I'd encourage everyone to look them up and maybe go through the training for themselves to be able to have that extra knowledge professional
knowledge.
Well,
certainly if you live in a housing development or something like that, it's wise to be aware of your OSHA rights. That's for sure.
Right.
I don't know that that's something that's needed for every person, but I do think if you live in a development or in a even in condominiums, it's smart if you know the OSHA rules. You can also go to a bookstore and get OSHA, OSHA book. So, but again, you know, those things, that's an easy way to explain something without getting yourself in too deep, if that's what your concern is. But the whole point is that, you know, like I said, now all these people are coming out of the woodwork. And I remember, I had her name today, and I didn't write it down because I thought I won't forget it, but I did. That's happening to me more and more frequently here lately.
Join the club.
Yeah. This is said by our 22-year-old. Listen to this.
So,
hey, honey, when I was 22, I was so sharp, people got stuck when they stood too close to me. So, you know, it's like one young woman that got taken, and they made her dress in the, like, Indian garb and cover her head and everything, and made her have children. And then she got to the point where she could move freely, but she was afraid to leave because she didn't think she'd be accepted anywhere else. She didn't think anybody would want her back. That's another scenario that is, like, you know, unforgivable.
Wow.
And then after they did a story about her, you found out that all kinds of people saw her. And she would even leave notes when she'd be in the beginning, when she'd be like at a truck stop or something like that, she'd leave notes, and people, nobody ever did anything. And if they did notify the local police, the local police would do a little, you know, research, and they'd already moved on, so that was the end of it. So, again, it all has to do with caring.
That's right.
You know, if you don't care about something, you don't do a good job at it, right? We all know that.
That's true.
And if we don't decide here very soon that it is important to us, that even the man standing over in the corner, that we don't know his name, we don't know anything about him, he deserves our compassion and our care. Because he's a fellow human being.
That's
and
right.
We share this earth together.
That's right. Wow. Reenie, what are you going to do with what you wrote? I think you should publish that somewhere.
Oh, I don't know. I have a whole bunch of that kind of stuff anymore. I write stuff all the time. But this had me so upset today because every time I turned on something, they showed pictures. And then they interviewed the two brothers who they say, now listen to this. They're his brothers, and they went in and out of this house, and they didn't know anything was going on.
You know, Reenie, it's just like when Anthony Alejandre's parents, I mean Anthony Alejandre, the guy who killed him, Jose Torres, They had no idea. Like they say, I had no idea my son had all these weapons under his bed.
Yeah.
What parent doesn't know at least go in the room to clean the room once?
You'd be surprised how many parents, you would be shocked to find out how many parents think what's in their kid's room is none of their business. I had somebody say that to me one time. You don't get into your kid's stuff, do you? I said, are you nuts? I've read everything that's in Diana's purse. I've read everything that's, anything and everything was not off limits for me because I cared.
That's right.
Well, parents make a mistake today of wanting to be their children's friends while they're teenagers and adolescents. You know, you're not friends at that stage.
That's
their parents.
Right.
And sometimes, you know what? They're not going to like you. They're not going to like you when they're 12 or 13 or 15 and they want to do something that you're going to tell them not to do. But you know what? They're going to respect you if you handle it, if you handle it with, you know, properly, and you're not being mean to them and you're just being authoritative. You say, I don't care if you like me right now. I care about you, so you're not doing this, or you can't have that in your room, or I'm not putting a lock on your door. Okay, right, and then when they grow up and they're adults, and they look back on it, and they're like, oh, my God, and they're looking at all their friends that are screwed up, you know,
they get
because
it.
They were allowed just to run amok, and they're actually going to be appreciative of the parents that were parents and not their buddies.
That's right.
They don't need buddies. They need parents. Their friends
that's
are their
right.
buddies, not you.
Well, and that's
Amen.
The whole reason you have to wait till you're grown up before you have children, because it's a grown-up's job. And
mm-hmm.
you do have to take it very, very seriously. And, of course, that's a big part of a lot of the problem that's out there today as well, like
you just said. You
love them so much, you're afraid that they're going to be mad at you.
Rainey, the way you just said that, about that's why you have to wait till you grow up to have children, the way you just said that, I have to say, was the most politically and culturally competent, respectful way I've ever heard that said.
Whatever you just said, I don't exactly know the word, but I think if any culture heard that, it would come off a lot more easy and understanding.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do think that we get confused about the power of the things that we do and the if you're a kid and mom and dad right. give you freedom. You
mm-hmm.
you are very proud of that, and you show that off to your friends, and you do all this kind of stuff, and you do lots of things that you may not even really want to do, but because you can, you do them. Now, if all parents would understand that, you know, I made
right.
some of those same mistakes. Believe me, I made
mm-hmm.
so many mistakes that it isn't even funny, because there is no way to really know what's right and what's wrong. But I was a very mature 19-year-old when I had my first child, and I'd already
right.
helped raise brothers and sisters and things like that. I wasn't afraid of being alone with my first baby when he got the croup. Funny story. Is everybody ready for a funny story after all this heavy stuff?
I love this story.
My son is like, maybe 8 months old, and he gets the croup. Now, I
uh-huh.
understand the croup because...
What is that?
The croup is like a bronchial swelling, and they can barely breathe, and they sound like they're barking. Their bronchial tubes and everything get so swollen.
Hacking cough? Like hacking cough?
No, it's I don't know where the croup name came from, but, now they probably would call it asthma or something. But back in those days, it was called the croup. My little sister had it several times. I had it several times. So here's my baby. I know
mm-hmm.
he's got the croup. It's Sunday, of course, because that's the only time children get sick, is on a day when nothing's opened. And I send my husband out to find me a vaporizer. So in the meantime, I go in the bathroom, I turn on the hot shower, the hot water in the bathtub, and close the bathroom door and sit on the side of the tub with my baby, and I'm feeding him nothing but water because the formula would make the bronchioles worse. So I'm giving him water, and I'm rocking him and singing to him. Finally, my husband comes home. He found a pharmacy that was open until midnight, and this was 1968. That was hard to find. And brings home the vaporizer. I fix a tent over the edge of my bed, part of it tied to the bolsters on our bed and part of it tied to Spikey's crib. And I put my Boston rocker under it and the vaporizer, and I get underneath it, and I'm rocking him to sleep. And we both fall asleep while I'm rocking in the rocking chair. And all of a sudden I hear this funny noise, and it sounds like ping, 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 ping. And I'm like, I wake up with a start. I melted all the glue in the Boston rocker. And the next thing I know, I'm sitting between the two rockers on the bottom of the chair and the seat right on the floor. The whole chair fell apart in all that vaporized water. And my son didn't even wake up, and I was laughing hysterically.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But, you know, those kind of things are the kind of stories, you know, that make it all worthwhile. But imagine some young girl who didn't know what the croup was. And didn't know what to do, and nobody, no neighbor would answer their doors when she knocked on them to get help. It's all a part of the same stuff. You see, it's all stems from all of us caring enough about each other.
Mm-hmm.
And even to that little scenario, I thought about that before and thought to myself, that was scary even for me, and I knew what was happening. But my own kids have had episodes, you know, with the kids. A neighbor, one of my kids' friends, their baby fell down and put his both upper and lower teeth right through his tongue, pierced his tongue.
Oh.
Now he'd be very popular, but back in those days that was not something you did.
So
his tongue was pierced all the way through, bleeding like crazy. They come and get me, and I go over, and I put ice on the baby's tongue. You can't sew up a tongue.
Right.
Unless it's really severed, and then they'll sew it back together. But a hole in the middle of it heals pretty fast. But we gave him ice, and I wouldn't let him suck on a baby bottle, and we got him all calmed down and everything. But what if she'd have gone to a neighbor who wouldn't answer the door?
Uh-huh.
What would she have done? You see, it's all a part of the same thing that I don't get why we can't be like that again. And I do see us being like that. But it always has to come from, you know, like Boston. All those people now that have gathered together in Boston because of the horrible stuff that happened there. But you
it
see a lot of times.
It has to be a tragedy for us to do that.
Yes, and it also a lot of times has to be somebody that they can turn all their anger on, Danny.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we have so much pent up frustration and anger.
Like September 11th.
Yeah, exactly.
To think about that we still call Muslims terrorists, that's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting because they weren't. It was a specific group.
That's right.
You know,
on
the story of mothers, I don't want to bring one more bad thing up, but did you all hear about the shootings at the Mother's Day parade?
No.
Mm-mm.
Oh, boy. Well, you're not going to like this then. Yesterday. Oh, happy belated Mother's Day, Renee and Shelly. Oh,
thank
I didn't call
you.
Any of you. Any of
yeah,
you. What
you.
Am I doing?
Well, you're no longer on my not naughty and nice list, you know, so Santa Claus is going to hear about this.
All right.
Yeah,
listen, well, unfortunately, there was a Mother's Day parade. I forget what state it was in. And there was a shooting. There was 12 people shot, mothers and kids.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I didn't.
How did I miss this with all the news I've been watching?
Well, it's on the news now as I'm sitting here.
Really?
Where? What state did this happen in?
I'm going to tell you right now. Hold on. I'm looking at the news. Hold on. It went on to occur, so it'll come back, but you're right, Renee. It's a shame. It's a shame that you know what? I have to leave myself for 1 minute. I'm going to look it up for you. I'll call you right back.
All right.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Well, I think somebody said something to me about that earlier, and I didn't see it. I didn't see it then, and I hadn't seen it the rest of the day.
Wow,
but
I didn't even hear about that one. I heard about the three women, but I didn't know the specifics of it, and I didn't know how much detail you had gone into it before I called. And I didn't really understand what the whole I knew that something had happened with three women being abducted, but I didn't even know about the baby. You know, I didn't know the details of it. It was kind of like I heard it as I was changing channels, and I didn't hear the whole report. You know. I knew a little bit about what you were talking about, but I didn't know the specifics. But I didn't hear about this other one at all.
Yeah,
but,
I didn't know. I didn't know that. One of the kids said something. Graham, did you hear about everybody getting shot? And I said no. And but I was making dinner, so I didn't pursue that. And then that's too bad.
And you know, in one of the books I read, I got to find out which book it is so I can actually read the excerpt from the page. But they were talking about, what book was it? Because I'm reading like four different books simultaneously. Anyway, one of the books I was talking about.
It's a good thing you're ambidextrous.
Yeah, really, true. But one of the topics they were talking about is something that we talk about on the show a lot, and about being spontaneously kind. Just, you know, like you see somebody, you get out of your car, and you see someone looking at you, smile at them. It doesn't cost you anything. It makes you feel better. And you might have just brightened that person's day up. You know, they might have been having a really lousy day, and somebody smiles at them, and it just, it's energy. It's all energy. You smile at somebody, and no matter what's going on, even for that moment, it's going to just make them feel better that somebody smiled at them. But if you look at them and you look away or you grimace at them, whatever, you know, you don't know what kind of an impact it has on them. And they had actually interviewed some of these people that had committed, you know, like violent crimes and things like that. And there was this one young man that they he had committed a nonviolent crime, but he was talking about the fact that he was going in to shoot this person, and I forgot what he ended up doing. That's what I'm saying. I got to find this page in the book so I can actually give you the story because it was pretty impactful. But what he was saying is that somebody smiled at him as he was going in, and it completely diffused him. He was going in to shoot this guy. He was still angry. But he couldn't go through with the violence of shooting him. So I think he just shot the place up and damaged like the property because he was still pretty angry. But because this one person smiled at him as he walked in, he couldn't go through basically whether he was planning on killing the guy. He couldn't go through with it. It diffused him just that much. And he says to this day he has to be because he ended up, you know, he ended up going to jail for a little time, but not for murder. And he says to this day. And this is a perfect stranger. He doesn't even know who the person was because they were walking out of the store as he was walking in. But to this day, he says that he owes his life to this person because he would have committed a crime that he would have regretted afterward. Because now he's happy he didn't kill the guy because once he let go of that anger, it didn't come back.
Well, you know, that's funny because, you know, our friend Gary that calls in and talks, he... You know, he's had a bunch of work done on his teeth, and a few weeks ago he was kind of a miserable camper for a while they were doing everything, and he's posted a picture, and he has this great big smile and everything, and it's funny because he said, I'm trying to see if I can find it on Facebook right now so I use his exact words, but he said that he thinks that people are, he says, everybody says he's smiling more often. And he said, and it's funny, it seems like people are smiling at me. And he said, I think maybe, you know, my smile is contagious now. And it made me laugh because I thought to myself, we've even talked about doing that as a test, you know, send to people on the show, you know, go out there and just grin at people or say, hi, how are you, and stuff like that, and see what kind of a response you get. And my kids pick on me all the time because I talk to people all the time, especially if we make eye contact. I always say, hey, how are you, or, you know, something. And kids are like, Mom, do you have to talk to everybody? And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess I must have to because it comes very natural for me.
Right.
And but I thought it was so cute when Gary said that, and he's probably right. How is our phone dialing in? Do you hear that?
No.
Hello?
Hi.
Is that Daniel back?
Hi, I'm back. I don't know how that happened.
I don't either. You never really left.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Yep, you've stayed right on. You stayed right on my switchboard. So,
I need to give you all an update. I wasn't able to find out what state that was in, but I want to give you an update, Renee, if you have a free moment, and Shelley.
Absolutely.
Do you know what today is?
Today is May 13th.
Yes, it is the fifth anniversary of the Bonding Bears Proclamation that was presented to us by Broward County Commission, naming Daniel Sohn and the Bonding Bears Program Appreciation Day.
Oh, well, wow. Congratulations.
Wasn't that cool?
Isn't that cool? Well, thank you. It's the fifth year anniversary, and we're encouraging everyone for the five-year milestone to donate on our website $5 for 5 years. So
wow.
I'm hoping we can do that.
Very nice. So I hope everybody heard that. And are you? Can you post that on my Facebook page, Danny?
Of course I can. Of course I can.
Okay, do that.
I'm going to get that information and send it to you so you can have that and also about this Mother's Day shooting at the parade.
I'll look that up online when I get off the phone so that Shelley
right.
and I can
everyone,
be updated.
Everyone, this is the show to listen to. Reenie is heart to heart.
Thank you, sweetie pie. Talk to you
soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Danny.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Danny. You know what else I wanted to do tonight before I forget about it? I wanted to remind all my vegans that are out there. I have a lot of vegan friends, a lot of vegetarian friends. Rita Romano, who is the author of Dining in the Raw, does a dinner party once a month, and her last one of the season is May 25th. And you can get on her website, and you can check it out, and it's absolutely delicious, and we have a really, really fun night. And you can check it out, like I said, on Rita Romano's website. Just look up Rita Romano, and you'll get everything up. And she's got a website at foodbyrita.com. And we have a wonderful time, and the food is absolutely delicious, and it's almost always all raw. Once in a while, she makes a soup or something, but most of the time, it's all raw. Shelley has been before.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. And yeah. If you're not a vegan or vegetarian, but you have people in your life that are, or you're just curious to check it out for yourself, some of the people that come to the event aren't vegans or vegetarians, but they like the food, and they'll come, you know, like, you know, they have times that they'll eat those types of meals. So you don't have to be a vegan or a vegetarian to really enjoy the evening. It's just like you go to an Italian restaurant one night, you go to a French restaurant, you go to a Mexican, and you go to a vegetarian. So it's just another type of cuisine to try and get a little variety in your life.
Yeah, and everything she does is from scratch. She makes some of the most delicious desserts you've ever tasted.
Oh,
she makes mousse, and she makes like a lemon sorbet, and it's just absolutely delicious. And like I said, it's great fun. We always have a good time when we're there. And she has a beautiful home in Lake Worth. So if you are interested, and if you can't find her, you can always Facebook me, and I will lead you to the right place. I'm looking on her flyer to see if she's got her phone number on there, and I don't know her phone number by heart. But it's at 1531 North Federal Highway in Lake Worth, and it is the 25th of May, but she's closing the reservations on May 20th because it's, you know, it's no easy feat preparing for that many people. There's usually 40 to 50 people, and we all get a chance to talk to each other and learn a little bit about each other. It's a nice evening. So, and the cost for the evening is a $40 donation. So if you're interested, by all means, come. We'd all love to see you. So we'll kind of pull it together now. We've only got a couple minutes left, but I will research about this shooting and see what I can find out. Maybe we'll talk briefly about that tomorrow night. And I'm probably going to have Linda on again this week, Linda Ellington. And
wonderful.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to bring in Tim again. Tim was wonderful, and he's the gentleman that did some hard time and came out and decided that he wanted to do more for kids and has done that and is the director of YAS, which is Youth Succeeding and Achieving. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's a good guy, and I look forward to talking to him again. So we'll have some guests, and Wednesday night will be a recording of one of Izzy Kalman's shows. So I look forward to seeing how that's going to work out, because I think some of Izzy's shows are certainly bear repeating. And, you know, the more times we play some of these things, the more we'll all understand them. So I want to thank Shell and Danny for joining me tonight, and I'm glad you enjoyed my paper. And let's see what we can do to keep I'm also pursuing getting in touch with people with the Monster March, and I'm also pursuing getting in touch with Bailey, the young girl up in northern Florida. So I have lots of things on my plate, but I want to thank you all for listening and supporting us. And together, we can do anything, right?
Well, yes, absolutely. Couldn't have said it better.
Right, that's right. Okay, good night, my Shelley. Good night, folks. From my heart to yours, this is Renee. Good night and God bless.
Good night, Renee, and good night, everyone.